Welcome Builders from Lakeland, Florida. This is the Build Your Success Leadership Podcast with your host, Brian Brogen. We're going to empower and equip you to build yourself and then build others. Now, let's build up with your host, Brian Brogen.
Hello, builders. We would love to welcome you to this episode of the Build Your Success Podcast. I hope you're building a business, building a career, hey, building life, whatever you're working on or towards. We want to be part of that journey. Here at the Build Your Success Podcast, we like to build you so you can build others. We do that through our coaching, training, speaking, and events, but we also do that through guests we bring to the podcast. I'm excited today to have LaDawn Townsend here on the podcast. I discovered her in Inc. magazine. You've ever seen that magazine? Pretty popular magazine for corporate leadership, but I just want to introduce LaDawn to you here. LaDawn Townsend is a transformational speaker and storytelling coach, seasoned business leaders as the CEO of Next Season Collective, a leadership communication training firm. She, alongside with her team for close to a decade, have helped senior leaders harness the power of storytelling to cast their vision. How important vision is in leadership. Thank you, LaDawn, for what you do in that arena.
Thank you, Brian, for having me on your show. I'm so excited for our conversation today.
I am excited as well. Again, you know, I told you as well as the listeners, I found you in Inc. magazine, something that many of us like to read and get ideas and thoughts from. But you wrote a story in here. The title of the story was Unpack What Your Company Does For You Before It Does You In. Mm-hmm. And you wrote about, you know, you took some time to tell us about some troubling times for you in your career and the struggles. You were real transparent with the reader. So I decided I want to have a conversation with you about this. So let's just get started with this. First of all, what does leadership and being a leader mean to LaDawn Townsend?
You know, I believe that business can be a force for good. And that begins with the leadership at the helm. And I say that because whether you are a corporate enterprise, whether you're in the public sector, whether you're a small business that is looking to scale up, whatever stage you are, your business can make an impact on the immediate area around you, both economically, both people impact. But that really begins with the leadership. And it's not the execution that leaders do. It's when leaders have a fresh perspective and can see the forest from the trees and really harness the essence of leadership.
Love that. I hear you talk about that. It reminds me of so many people that have started a business to become wealthy. That was their original intent. And then they discovered, I'm actually helping people. I'm actually making things happen. And I could, even though now that I've met my goal of becoming wealthy, now I've got all these other people depending on me, from vendors and suppliers and employees. It just, when you realize the vastness of being a real leader, it's more of a challenge when you understand how much impact you can have as a successful leader.
Exactly.
However, it is very stressful. And I want to ask you on this article, how do you reduce stress in stressful roles? So you're a leader. Let's say you're a leader of an organization. You might be the CEO. You might be a leader of a department. But all of those have stresses associated with them. How can we reduce stress in those stressful roles?
I love that you asked this. I recently taught a masterclass called Bouncing Back from Leadership Burnout around the article that came out. Because what I find is when we're feeling stress, the number one culprit outside of the things that you have to do or your responsibility, what's really happening is your inner self as a leader feels an inability to communicate truly what you want to say. And so it's either a capacity issue, it's either toxicity in the work environment, it's either maybe you're not sure what to say, or you said something before and it didn't go land the way you want. But there is something that is silencing you. And when we aren't in a position to where we can flow as a leader, meaning that we can do the things that we have to do, we can help with the team and manage the role and be at a place of alignment as a leader, I don't believe in the word balance. I believe in flow, because sometimes you're going to have more work than family time or family time than work. It just depends. But what I find in over 20 years of supporting leaders, whether it was in corporate America or for nearly a decade with leading my own company, is there is a silent silencing of the leader's ability to communicate. And so in order for us to first acknowledge that's what's happening, now let's take a look at what could be happening. It could be that you are just truly beyond capacity in your role. You know, you've been asked to do the role of 20 people where you really are just one person, right? Or the 20 tasks that could take all of the people to do, but you're just one person. It could be also that maybe there is some pushback you're getting internally because you know that there's an answer to the solution or whatever you're asked to do, but you know how to address that to your management. Maybe they've given you a KPI for your department to hit, and you're saying, this is not realistic, but how do I communicate that in a way without being offensive, but really stating the case in a way to be heard? So when we have the stress, first we have to identify stress comes when we feel an inability to not be able to communicate. Well, why are we not being able to communicate? Because what is the triggers? Now, there's the trigger that is what we think is happening, and there's what's happening. And somewhere in the middle, there's truth. So we have to figure out what's happening. And then third, to relieve that stress, what is the story you're going to tell? How are you going to communicate? This is what's happening. What's your plan to get out of it? Whether you can indirectly or directly approve that. But it all boils down to, how are we going to communicate in order to alleviate the stress? And I believe if you do the first two points, you'll start to sense some of this stress relieving because you've acknowledged that it's actually there. Now, I want to speak just quickly for a moment to those that are maybe like me. Like if you take the DISC personality, you're a D. If you take one of the eagle or the animal types, you're an eagle. If you take the color leadership assessment, you're a red, right? You are conquering the hill. You are going to get to the top. There is a way for us to be those leaders that conquer the hill, but it doesn't mean you have to exhaust yourself. And that's what I learned so much and shared in the Inc. article about how do we really dissect in a way what's causing the stress so we can lead effectively.
We hope you're enjoying today's podcast. This podcast is sponsored by Build Consulting Services. Are you ready to reduce workplace conflict, reduce employee turnover, and increase your productivity? If you're ready to put Brian to work for your company, give him a call at 863-800-9658 or email him at brianb@buildcs.net. Now, back to today's episode.
Wow. Love all of that. I heard you talk about that inner conversation you're having, inner communication, and then that external communication where you're trying to convey that message to others, how important that is. And then that stressful piece, you know what? If you're stressing yourself out, you're probably most likely stressing your team out.
Exactly. So
to be aware of that and conscious of that, there's just, you know, and too often, you know, we tell ourselves a story that may not be factual, may not be true.
Yes.
So we have to be cautious and careful with that as well. As you said, there's what the perceived is and what the reality is, and we can find that. But be conscious enough to think about, well this is my perspective on this. What are others' perspectives on this?
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be very helpful. I love that. So in this article, you talk about your personal pandemic reset. I think a lot of us changed and had changes. There was a lot of time to think, you know, when you're not being able to do as many things as you used to do out in person and physically. So what happened with you as far as your pandemic reset?
You know, during the pandemic, I thought it was a perfect time for my team and I to complete a rebrand I had wanted to do for years. And this was, you know, I wanted a look and a feel. But what I found on the other end of that, you know, I did the first thing that I tell my clients, contact your core loyal group of clients and ask them two questions. What do my team, what do they do really well? What do I do really well? So I asked that question. And the feedback from the team, thankfully, it was positive. A lot of it was we move faster than they do, because at that point we were traditionally a consulting firm doing revenue growth and process improvement and sales and marketing training and taking companies from the Middle East and to India and all of these things. And so a part of our system was always first starting with leadership. Where does the leadership want to go? Why are we going there? What's the intent behind it? But we never publicly talked about leadership being a core pillar of what I teach. And so I reached out to some trusted colleagues and some clients and asked them those questions. And when they got to me, they said, LaDawn, I really like when we can just sit down and have a conversation. You help me think differently as a leader. And I thought, okay, you know, not like the 400-page market analysis report or the half-day training we did on sales and marketing with your team. And so that shifted me. And really, it was a moment that God was trying to tell me. Now, your audience may refer to someone else. God is my chairman of the board. That's who I have to answer to in my business. But sometimes we are taken on a path to catch our attention for something that's for our good. And I was going and going and going. And before the pandemic, I was actually coming back from India. I think a month or two before it broke out there. I'm very thankful I was able to get home. And I just remember asking myself, is this the direction that I want my consulting firm to be? Is this the direction for consulting? You know, the traditional, you fly in, you bring the client into a room, and, you know, is that really what I want for best for the client? And also, is that what I want for me? You know, you get a point in your life where you have to ask yourself as a leader, especially business owners, that you're not a newbie in this game, but you can't allow the business to drive your peace and happiness. There has to be a reset. And I was asking myself, is this what we're supposed to do? And I just thought, well, I guess you're supposed to. So in that moment when my clients were telling me this, what I found out was that it was enough, just that piece, not just enough. It was actually making impact. And so I sat with that intentionally up until just we're finishing it now to really see what does this look like. So what I thought was a rebrand actually was shifting me into the path that was for my next season. But I had to be open and willing to actually listen to the instructions I was being given, to the nudges inside, you know, your professional instinct that's saying, I think I need to go left when everyone's going right. And it actually is something that worked out all the way around for clients, for myself, for my team, to be the best next season for us.
Wow, LaDawn, love that. As I hear you talk about it, it reminds me when I first began facilitating, I had written some curriculum. I wanted to take this group through my curriculum. But what my curriculum was designed to do was create conversations and improve communication. And when I realized those conversations were happening, I realized I'm not on a time limit. I'm going to allow them to have these conversations. And if we don't make it through my facilitation workbook, so what? It's met the goal.
Yeah.
And to find out what you're gifted at, that is so important. You shared with us that you asked your clients and your team about the giftedness. So when you began to recognize that giftedness, how did you embrace that?
Well, I would love to say that I embraced it off the bat. I didn't. I questioned it. And the question was really, can it be that simple? Not easy. Being a business owner is not easy. But could it really be that simple? You know, if it takes a pandemic to get us to collectively as a leadership body around the globe, I believe the pandemic made us pause and ask the question, is this really how we should do business? Is this really in best alignment for me, my company, my team? And so I really had to sit with it. You know, we're in the middle of the pandemic trying to figure things out. And, you know, I first had to just understand what this could look like. And so it was a few years process of, okay, if we make that shift, I don't believe in just making a shift to make money. What is the impact? And I also don't believe that your full purpose is in your business. I think there's purpose that we have outside of our business. But because of the work we do, like you were sharing about your curriculum, I asked, what if we were to just slow down? and throw out the book of how we think we're supposed to do it and just connect back with people, cultivate conversations, get leaders to think differently about what it means to lead, which will then lead them into the type of life they want. I always ask, especially business owners, when we're working together, what's the goal for your company? What's the goal for you and your life? Because your company should feed the life you want. There are times where it may feel a little in reverse, but that's the end goal. And so when you're going through this, after now realizing it, what I would tell anybody who's going through this is to trust the process. And you don't have to complicate the process, number two. And number three, it can be that simple. Because when you move into, I believe, just surrendering to the idea that it could be simple, then the downloads come. Then the strategy comes. Then the doors start to open because you're working in alignment. You know, one of the core things that I teach around leadership storytelling, it's all about being in alignment of who you are as a leader. So if you're fully in alignment with what your leadership anchors are, your business beliefs, how you want to be known as a leader, then we can start moving. Then the magic happens. But if we're not in alignment and trying to be something we're not, it's always going to feel like a push-pull.
Wow. You covered a lot of ground there. I got so many directions I could go with that. You did remind me, though, of the simple part. I interviewed a local, it's almost a 90-year-old barbecue. Of course, you and I started talking about barbecue before the show here because you're in, man, you're where Austin, Texas, where there's great barbecue. But there's a local 90-year-old business here where they've been making barbecue that long. They still serve it on paper plates. And I asked the owner a few months ago, and I wrote a blog article about keeping things simple. I said, why do you keep it simple, Dale? And he said, simple's easy to teach.
Yes, there you go. That's brilliant.
Simple is easy to duplicate. Mm-hmm. And when I realized that, I was like, man, wow, somebody's been so successful, three generations of barbecue pit masters, because they kept it simple.
Yeah.
And so as you're talking about that, and you realized your giftedness was asking people questions, challenging the norms, and you didn't need a whole lot of literature and a whole lot of content to do that. You needed you. But yeah, that's so when we talk about how keeping it simple, I love those thoughts around how you recognize your gifts were basically asking questions and challenging norms. Mm-hmm. Tell us maybe some examples of where you did that with someone and they discovered how they could do things better.
You know, I've been blessed to teach my storytelling method to a group of United States congressmen, to leaders at NASA, to small business owners wanting to scale their companies. And what I find in each position, in each situation, is that people really want to be heard. They want time to process through their thoughts, and they want to have a dialogue to not confirm if they're right or wrong, but to pull out the leader within them. And so in order to do that, they have to, because then once you know the leader you are, then we can look at, okay, how are you communicating? And I remember I was with a group of leaders that were responsible for leading a very diverse team, meaning diverse in culture, diverse in educational background, diverse in positions and titles. And there was a shift happening within some of the old school were required to have certain degrees, and some of the new in order to get a position, but some of the new school will say who had a certain level of degree were being brought into that department. And there was a bit of a rub, right? It's, you know, you have to have a PhD. I had to have a PhD to get this position. And now you can come in with a strong MBA. But that's because the seasons and the times have changed. And so we were talking through, how do I get my colleagues, peers, my manager to hear what I have to say, and that I'm an asset to the team without the prejudgment that I'm getting. And so there's only so much that you can do to have someone else see your side. You can't force anyone to see it. The only thing you can do is to state your case the best way you can. However, in doing that, what I shared with that group was what was the intention of why you wanted to show them, and what was the ideal scenario that came out of it. So if they were to recognize you as a star employee, asset, rock star, what would you want to have happen? And when we go through this exercise, we found that they really wanted to be able to brainstorm around a table and not be called into a project once everything had been outlined of what to do, and they're just sort of leading it but not giving input. So we reversed engineered to say, okay, if that's the end goal, then we don't need to start with here's my credentials and see me. Let's take a look at what can you provide of value to that project. So there's a way for people to be seen, and through that, they can see you. But if we're first starting with, I want to be seen, here's my credentials, you're going to miss the point because they're saying, what's in it for me, really? And even though, yes, they should see your credentials, we got to get to the key of what do people want to hear? What's important for them? And once you confirm that, once they see that, then they can start listening to you. So it's the saying, you know, it's what's in it for me, right? So what's in it for them? I think in leadership, there's been a shift in the marketplace in the past maybe 15 years or so, where it's more of a I'm demanding to be seen versus why should they even care to see you, listen to you? It's not so much of the credentials you have or what generation you're in. What do you bring to the table? I'm a strong advocate for that, because if we can't get a seat at the table and hold our seat at the table with our skill set and have a dialogue, we lose our seat at the table. And so you wanting to be seen and you wanting to be in the room, that window will be lost if you're not able to communicate it. So I come from an old school of, you know, you worked your job and people noticed the good work and then you got promotions. I know it's different now, but I still believe that if you're wanting to be seen or escalate your career, you're already applying for the position before you start applying for the position. So how can we start today being seen as the leader? And once we went through that exercise, the best part for me was physically seeing the person I was speaking to, her shoulders drop and exhale, because she was holding it all in of, it's a stressful situation. You're not being taken seriously. So once that happened and they exhale, now I can go into dialogue with her to help her be seen. And if she can experience that when she goes into a room, or he or whomever it is, when they first release and let go of everything we're holding in to get our point across, then when you go into a conversation, people will see you are a open vessel. So you're open to hear what they have to say. And that already will start to diffuse some of the tension that's happening in workplace situations.
Wow, Don, a great, great example there. I hear you talk about that. I think about, I too was kind of a little jealous of some of these younger people getting promoted faster than we did, you know, 20 years ago. But when you realize the labor pool is so much shorter, we don't have the kind of time that we used to season and bake our leaders in. Now it's more of a microwave society. You got to get people stepped up because the need is there.
Yeah.
And we have to, you know, get these people advanced. I call it fast track leadership, where we got to get these people up and they may not get the time to season or get the PhD or have other accolades behind their name before they're put in a leadership role. We also, as you alluded to, have to engage people and make sure that they're part of the process, because if they don't feel like they're part of the process, they're going to move on and go do other things where they are engaged and part of the process. So love that. That leads right into my next question for you. Creating a culture of leaders. You talked about that in this article. I believe culture is one of the most important things and yet one of the very lacking things in corporate world. So how do we improve cultures and put a real concentrated effort on making sure we have the right culture for the team?
Yeah, I think it's important to assess and get back to the core of business, meaning what is the purpose for the company, the department, and who is the talent needed to fulfill that role, right? So if you're saying you want to increase sales by 30%, then we need skilled salespeople that are hunters and not gatherers, right? If you're saying you want to improve customer service, you need people that are friendly on the phone and approachable and don't sound distant or put people off, right? So we first, as leaders, have to identify what are the core skill set that's needed. That's one. And then outside of the skill set, who would be ideal? So I remember when you were just talking about, you know, credentials, one of the things that shocked my colleagues, some of my colleagues when I was working in corporate America, is that most of my projects would get funded over others, or I was given the really, I call them the gnarly projects. I'm from Los Angeles, so they were just really gritty. And I love that because one, yes, it is high profile, so you get attention if you do it right. But also it was intriguing for me to find that out. And I remember a colleague asking me, you know, LaDawn, where'd you get your MBA? And I said, I don't have one. And she was shocked. And I had to go on and explain to her, I don't have a PhD, an MBA, a BA, a BS, an AA, a Google certificate. But my background, one, I was able to communicate and tell the story that I needed to get across to leadership. And also, I come from a family where we had family-owned businesses. So strategic thinking and things like that was a part of my skill set. But even if you have the skill set, you need to know how to communicate. And so I bring that up because when we're talking about culture, a lot of the times in your position, once you know the skill set, what does the ideal individual look like? Is it someone who's flexible? Is it someone who is willing to go above and beyond? Is it someone that you as the leader can trust in giving an assignment to? So that isn't always connected to someone who has an MBA or a bachelor's degree. It could be someone that has 15, 20 years of experience of fixing things or in customer experience. I believe that organizations, if they were to really look at the talent pool they have in-house of what the skill set is, what the past 2 years of performance reviews have been, who's been consistent, you may find people that are being overlooked for key positions because they just don't have the criteria. Now, if it's accounting, you probably need a degree, right? But if you really want to find that, so to improve culture, it's really by giving people who are qualified an opportunity. But we can't do that as leaders if we're not clear on what the role is, who are we really looking to fill this role, and then looking for the talent. That's one. The second piece is a part of what happens with culture being disconnected. I'm just going to say this. I know some senior leaders may not agree, but leadership from the helm can muck it up. Let's just be honest, right? Sometimes there's the meetings that come in or the KPIs or the questions. And so you have a workforce that are worker bees trying to execute, even your SVPs or directors, they're trying to execute, but their workload cannot balance out with what they need. So we have to take a look at what really needs to be done. And as leaders from the helm, is it necessary to have that meeting with this group? Is it necessary for you to go back and ask the five questions about the PowerPoint? Why are we doing that? Because what I'm finding most of the time, and what was really so apparent in the masterclass we did about burnout, is the requests coming from the top of the house down are being left out with so much context that those that are trying to respond are trying to fill in the gaps of the context. And that tells me that there's a missing strategy at the top of the helm. So the second item of what can hurt culture is a disconnected strategy. It's a strategy that sounds good on paper and in the whiteboard and probably at the executive offsite, but have you consulted with some members of the team that are actually executing and doing the role just to bounce it off of them? Now, if you say to us, say to me, LaDawn, we don't have those people, there's your culture gap. Because there has to be talent in-house. If there's no talent whatsoever, if you can't find anyone in the land that can actually be trusted, and that trusted person may be someone in shipping and logistics. You know, one of the projects I was leading when I worked in corporate was improving shipping times with a large online retailer around the holidays. So, of course, you have your JAD session and your stakeholders. And I asked for someone who actually was connected to the shipping and logistics. So there was a representative who could speak for them. We found out so much information that we didn't know because we're not living that life day to day. So for culture, What is the position? What's the skill set? Who do you want to see? What's the experience you want to have with that person? Is it someone who everyone goes to? Number two, your strategy needs to be non-confusing, and that only is responsibility from the leadership at the helm. And then the third is actually holding yourself accountable as a leadership team to do what you say you're going to do. I was recently doing an offsite, and some of the senior leaders said, we think we need to send a survey to our employees just to see how we're doing. And I said, you don't need a survey. Don't hire another consulting firm or a tool. Here's what you do. You ask them two questions and you find a Google Monkey or Google Doc or survey, whatever it's called. And you send it to them. You say, what are we doing well as a leadership team? Where do we need to improve? You can come directly and give this feedback, or here's two questions. And then respond on the two questions of, you gave us this information. What is the lowest hanging fruit of a solution that you can provide? So you give your team members some consistency to see that, hey, they're actually responding to us. If you're not in a position as a leader willing to do that, you and your leadership team, don't survey them, because you're adding to the disconnect within the culture. So culture is way more than what people think it is. It is really, the proof is in the pudding. And that only begins with the leadership at the helm.
Wow, that's great. When I hear you talk about that, it's back to that, you know, we kind of start off with a simple message, creating a vision that people can understand. When you put those two together, and it does not have to, in fact, if it's complex, it gets cumbersome. Yeah. So if it's simple for people to understand, get on board, and then hiring the right people, like you said, you know what roles you're trying to fill, you know what the culture of your team is, hire the person that fits that and pay attention, be intentional about those things. Wow, great stuff. We have, you know, we've done it. We've made it through this 25 minutes or so. You have an event coming up. I want you to tell the listeners about, if they're in Austin, what can they experience and how do they get on board?
Yes. If you are in Austin or willing to catch a flight, we are bringing our leadership signature dinner, which is a small intimate group. It's normally invitation only, but I want to extend an invitation for those that are watching here to apply. If you're interested, you can email my assistant, Morgan, at concierge@vosgroup.world. It is going to be in Austin at a luxury hotel Thursday, January 11th at 7 p.m. We will have a three-course dinner, but above that, it's the high caliber conversation that I believe seasoned business leaders and established business owners are looking for. It's the closed door conversations of being able to talk about what we go through as leaders, to be able to really expand and get a fresh perspective to see the forest from the trees. So we have a few tickets that are left. It's primarily our leadership collective members that will be there, but we also opened up to non-members. And we would love, if someone is looking for that, to come and spend an evening with us. So again, just email Morgan at concierge@vosgroup.world. And we'd love to get you an application and have you join us at our leadership signature dinner.
Thank you, LaDon. And for our listeners, I'll include that email in the show notes with some instructions on how to join that group. LaDon's on LinkedIn, and we've connected there. So please go out and find her there. And we'll leave that in the show notes as well. I want to thank you for listening to the podcast. I want to remind you that our Voices for Leadership book, Volume 2, is now live on Amazon in the hardcover copy. We put together 40 international authors with diverse thoughts on leadership. If you've listened to the podcast before, you know I say leadership is like DNA. We all lead differently and we're all led differently. And so we got these ideas from 40 people across the world. It's a great book. You can sit down and read a few chapters at a time and find out some great nuggets on leadership. Thanks for listening to the podcast today. Remember to build yourself and then build others.
Want to learn how to build yourself and build your team? Visit www.buildcs.net and learn about Brian's programs, special offers, and more. Build yourself and then build others.